preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
So glad you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace. We are studying this great truth, this, well, tragic truth given in John chapter 4, that Jesus says here, a prophet has no honor in his own country. Now, there's a great contrast going on in this text. Jesus has just come out of Samaria. They have received the word. They have received the word, the implanted word, and they have been so excited to receive that word. They have heard that word, Israel's enemies. Jesus now returns in this last section of John 4 to his own country, near his hometown. And that's what grieves me about this text. What burdens my heart about this text is this solemn, hard-to-deal-with contrast between the pagans receiving the gospel of the kingdom, living water, and his own rejecting it. This is the truth given at John 1. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. You see, we tend to read this about Jesus and say, well, any preacher who's in his hometown, own country, is not received, but we miss the point. This hometown, this sort of good old boy mentality, is really alive and well today. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, forgive me. I rehashed some of this yesterday, but it's a tough way to say it. It's the overexposure to everything in a post-Christian culture. You know, I was just reading in a book about developments of certain persecutions and how heretics were dealt with. And long ago, they were persecuted heavily in Europe. But the great experiment in America was that everyone could hold to whatever he wanted with no consequence. Total toleration and total freedom. Well, we think about the consequences of that. It hasn't cost anyone anything to hold to anything. My point is, it means nothing to be a Christian today for people. And we've heard the gospel, we've heard about Jesus, everyone says we're going to heaven, everyone seems to know about these things. We've heard the word, we know the word, we've had so much exposure, it's so familiar to us. All we've heard about is the love of God. Everything is so familiar, it doesn't penetrate us anymore. We're the hometown. And what risk do we face? Well, it's the very thing here of not honoring him. You read through the Gospel of John, this is the problem over and over. They would not receive him according to the word. They were not, contra the woman at the well, satisfied with his water. She's telling others, and Jesus has to admonish his own to look up. But there in this text, his own wouldn't hear him. They wouldn't believe in him. This has always been a problem among the boys. How true is it, you know? How true is it that when Jesus makes this statement, a prophet has no honor in his own country? Today, it's just true. Even the pastor is not very much respected anymore. And this is the great challenge. It's because we all want something new. We all want something bigger and better. We're always fence looking. Maybe on the other side of that fence is something better. And what happens? Is there a real excitement over the word today? Is there real growth in the word today? And all of our new innovations and all of our shifting and all of our fence looking and all of our great technology and all these sort of things, as we're jumping to something bigger and better all the time, has that really increased in us a love for the word? This word of God, this power God has chosen in the announcement of the gospel to save those who believe? Well, sad fact is, even though we have every color of leather on our Bibles, even though we have all the versions, even though we have the men's study Bible, the teen study Bible, the women's study Bible, you name it, It's out there, the Army Study Bible. You got it, right? Even though we have all of that, we live in the most biblically illiterate age ever. That is stunning. That is the greatest tragedy. Amos prophesied that a day would come when there would be a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or water, but a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. People don't know the word, and they want something bigger and better. Oh, that's our problem. Our problem is the end of John chapter 4. We're sign seekers. And what happens here? God gives us word and sacrament. We're not excited about that. God gives the Samaritans the word. They're blown out of their minds. They love it. And what happens in this text? Well, contra the Samaritans who are thrilled with the word, they're talking about Jesus and how sad it is that those sometimes who are very new to the faith are better zealots and better witnesses to the grace of Christ than those who've been in it all their life. Here was this adulterous woman who was out sharing her faith, telling others about Jesus in John 4. They're coming. Jesus goes back to the hometown, and all they're interested in are his signs, not the word. They want a show. They want a show. Israel had a long history of this problem. Who didn't they turn to other than the word and the prophets? They turned to anyone who could charm them with smooth words, lying signs, and lying wonders. And my friends, we are in a day when we are caught in this same stuff. We're interested in the guys who can heal, and the miracles, and the dreams, and the visions, and the smooth words. And we don't know the word of God. At the time of the Protestant Reformation, there was a recovery of what they felt had been so lost, biblical expositional preaching of the Word of God. Here at the Linden United Reformed Church, we are committed to continue that wonderful tradition of preaching the whole counsel of God in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. We would love to have you be a part of our fellowship. The greatest need of our day is bold and unashamed proclamation of the truth. Join us at the Linden United Reformed Church. Let me state that again. Jesus comes to his hometown, contrary to what he just experienced in Samaria, where they loved the word, they drank the word, they were nourished with the food that endures to everlasting life that Jesus gives. This woman has been transformed. He comes back to the hometown, and they want signs. Israel had a long history of this problem. Anyone who could charm them with lying signs and lying wonders, they were attracted to the smooth words, to what was delightful to hear and to see, and they would not be confronted about their sin. They would not be confronted about their need. They didn't listen to the prophets who told them to turn from their evil ways, or they would die and perish in their sins. You see, what does the crowd want from Jesus Christ? The home crowd. They want a show. And now that's illustrated for us. Jesus sees right through it. And he knows for many people, unless they're wowed, they won't believe. Have you ever noticed, my friends, all these guys on TBN, all these guys doing the signs and miracles stuff, you know what's not central? A preaching of the word, expositing the word. It's all the signs. Well, Jesus' attitude to that is given in this text. This is a slap in the face to the signs and wonders movement, a warning, sign seekers, beware. Verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. They had already seen a great miracle here. Jesus returns. Is there faith in him? What are they coming to see? This is what we read. And there was a certain nobleman, a basilikos, a royal kingly official, one that could be from Herod. We read that his son was sick at Capernaum, 15 miles away. When they heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now this is his son. We know the affection we all have for our children. As I read this, I can't help but think about how real a circumstance this is. It's not a matter of if sickness is going to occur, but when and how hard it is for a loved one, even worse, that of a child. I'm reminded of J.C. Ryle's words, "Sickness and death come to the young as well to the old." But the young are slow to learn this lesson. Parents and children are apt to shut their eyes to plain facts and act as if their young are never going to die. The gravestones in our cemeteries show how many there are who never reached old age at all. The first grave ever dug on earth was for a young man. The first one who ever died was not a father, but a son. Your child's welfare weighs on you. Here this father knows of Jesus Christ. He comes and he says, "Heal him." "We want a sign," the people are thinking. They've gathered to come see Jesus' signs, his miracles. How does Jesus respond? John 4, verse 48. Are we ready for this? "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." Whoa. Where did that come from? What a sharp reply. Why did he say it like that? Because, my friends, all around him is the hometown, and Jesus is looking right into their hearts. He knows they don't believe. He knows it's all superficial. He knows it's all hypocritical, and they have no interest in the word, their need, or his delivering power from their sin. He knows they want to show. What is their source of pride? It's their identity. It's who they are, and it's who they know. Unlike the men from Sychar in this chapter, this crowd is full of sign seekers. This crowd has come for smooth talker and performer. Let me ask this today. Why do people want signs and miracles? Better put, why is this such a desire in those who are religious, deeply set in their religion? Why would his own want something more than the word? The answer's easy. If the woman at the well satisfaction was found in the bad sins, divorces, adultery, men, jumping from man to man to man, all of which was just reprehensible to the Jews, then here, my friends, we see the great danger in his own home crowd who are not yet filled with living water. They too are jumping around. They too are restless. They want satisfaction in anything and everything that visibly enhances their entitlement as the people of God. Not a deep dependence themselves on Christ who can give living water, not a dependence on his grace and gospel, the one who is full of grace and truth, but satisfaction in the outward things that marks and validates them. It's Jesus' brothers. Show the world your miracles. Let them see it. We want to be identified with that. But they didn't believe in him. There's a subtle idolatry in us that wants Jesus to validate us, to stoke our egos and do signs among us, to grow us in our pride, in our church, the way we do things, in our process, that people would see we're the ones with life. And you see, we don't hear his word. We're not filled with him. That's the tragedy at the end of John 4, that his own people wanted the signs, but they would not receive him according to the word. They would not believe his word that was spoken, that testified that he is the Son of God, that they should live by faith alone and not by signs. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we do give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. On the web, it is lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you to get to know us, who we are, and what we believe. Again, thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.